Father, this morning. We thank you for certainly giving your body and shedding your blood for us. But Lord, what does that mean? Do we just remember, Lord, what you've done, or do we put it to practice in our life? Lord, help us just as we briefly look again at being a disciple, what that means in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Started this last week, talking about a disciple and a servant of Christ. And so now if you would identify yourself as a disciple, and we talked about what that was, it's a follower of Jesus Christ, then you are obligated to give him the best of your service, the best of your sacrifice. And we saw that in Luke chapter 14, if you want to go ahead and turn there to verse 25, when it says, "Now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, 'If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple.'" And it's that last part that kind of puts the punch to that verse. If we're not that way, if we have something that we love more in our life than we love him, if we serve other things more than we serve him, we cannot be his disciple. In that list is included, even ourselves can get in the way. "And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." We talked about the cross meaning death. And it is the idea that I die daily to myself. When I wake up in the morning, it's not about me anymore. It's about him. So we can always tell the strength of our discipleship in that when we get up, who's the day about? And so we know instantly who we really want to serve, ourselves or him, every time we get out of bed. "For which of you intends to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost whether he has enough to finish, lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king going to war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000. Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has," and here it is, "cannot be my disciple." Goes on, talks about salt there. We've seen in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, if you pop over there, a verse you all know, where it says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So here we are, as we look at these scriptures, and like we looked at last week, we are to give our Father in heaven our best as living sacrifices, holy, which means to be set apart. I'm set apart only for him, nobody else. Holy and acceptable to God. My life must be lived in such a way that it is pleasing to him. It's acceptable to him. And so, as I said last week, we cannot be spent enough for our Father's kingdom. You know, if you looked at Romans 8, which we looked at last week, in verse 36, you talk about being spent for the kingdom. Here's Paul writing to the Romans, and in the midst of talking about how much God loves us. You know, Paul pulls a verse out of Psalm 14, and you can go back there and find this verse, but he says, "For your sake, we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter." Wanted his readers to understand they were called to give up their life for somebody else. In the midst of all the love and the persecution and the trials Paul's going through, this sat in the middle of it. I'm being spent for the kingdom. And my life doesn't even matter. And so God has placed every person in this congregation of believers to work these things out in their faith. So let me ask this. How committed to this fellowship are you? And if you're visiting today, I could ask, how committed are you to the fellowship that the Lord has put you in the place that you live? And, why has God brought you here? Ask yourself that. Lord, why am I here? Why am I part of this church body? Why would you have me here? And can each of us say we are truly here to serve as a disciple, as a follower of Christ, and get to a place where we disciple other people? And does my involvement in this body and service to it as a disciple of Christ show this to be true, that I was actually called here? Or am I just warming a pew? Now, if you're saved and you're part of this body, there is something you can do, because how many times do we hear, I don't know how to serve. I don't know where to serve. I can't. I'm too busy. And all sorts of things can be said, but I don't know how to serve. When the Lord saved you, I want to tell you something. He gifted you. And every one of you have a gift. If you don't know what that gift is, you need to get on your knees and find out what that gift is. But let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I want to remind you that you were gifted to be part of this body. And there isn't one person here that's not gifted. Verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities. Now you'll see that, or allotments, or various would be another way of saying that. Diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for, look at this, the profit of what? Of all. So you're brought into a body. God, first of all, you're saved, and He gifts you to go serve in a body, a local body, for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to what? Look at this. Each what? Each one, individually, as He wills. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that body being many are one body, so also is Christ. And it goes on. So in whatever way God has gifted you, you need to be actively using it for this body that He's put you in. Here. In this body, and everyone is gifted. And so, just as He would talk about the human body has many different parts, yet it is a perfect picture of unity. When you look at your own human body, each part's doing its own thing, but it's a body and it's a unit. This is a picture of unity, your own body. My hands do things just the nature of being a hand. It just knows what to do. And I want to tell you, if I don't have this hand, this body's a mess. Oh, I'm just a toenail. I'm just the big toe. Well, I'll fall over if I don't have my big toe. I mean, how many, you lose balance. The human body has many different parts, but it is the picture of unity. Each part doing its intended duty, yet working together as one unit. So if you want to look at what unity looks like, look at your own body. Now magnify that in the body of Christ. Why churches are so disunified, people, is because we're not doing what God told us to do. That's what happens. So the church is the family of God. We can go back to Romans chapter 12. Go to Romans 12, verse 5, right in that area. Right where we were, but just a little bit down. So we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of what? One another. So this becomes something that I'm birthed into and grafted into. I'm just as much a part of this body and I need you as this hand is grafted to my arm and it needs it. God makes no mistakes. You didn't land here because you were just walking down the street one day and said, you know, there's a building. I'm going to go there. God purposely puts you here. That's why you're here. And I've said many times from this pulpit, I had no intentions of being a pastor in Rafton, Idaho. But here I am, grafted to you, and you to me, and we've become a body. 1 Timothy chapter 5, jump over to 1 Timothy 5. Paul talking to his young disciple, as he's being sent out into the world. Verse 1 and 2. Do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a what? As a father. Now, we could just read over that if we don't understand some things of what he's saying here. I'm to treat an older man in the body that God's put me in as what? Father. Exhort him as a father. Younger men as brothers. You know what he's saying there? We're family. We're family. Therefore, he expects unity in the body of the family. Now, the body of Christ or the church must have members who fulfill their function. Each person has a ministry, as we just read. The Lord expects us to fulfill that ministry in a place of worship that He has placed us. If we go to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians. Verse 17. Colossians 4, 17. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may what? Fulfill it. How many of us understand that we've been placed into a body of believers, given a gift, entered into ministry, and God expects you and I to do what? Fulfill it. Okay, so you got to ask, okay, Lord, what's the ministry you put me in the body? You got to find that out. It's not for the pastor to appoint you. You find that out. How can I serve? Where does the Lord want me to serve? How has He gifted me? What are my talents? How can I use them in the body and fulfill the ministry? If you're just one who, and I'll get to this part, I'm getting ahead of myself already. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy 4. Again, this is part two of the message that I've been thinking about for several weeks now. Paul telling Timothy here, but you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. Here it is again. Fulfill your ministry. God places us in a body, starts us in a ministry. He expects us to do what? Complete it. And I want to remind you that retirement is never in the Scriptures. You fulfill it till the day you go home to Christ. I mean, you go to the last breath. There's no saying, you know what? I've done enough Sunday school. That's not for me. Let somebody else do it. No! Show me that. Show me where retirement in the body of Christ works. Doesn't. Well, I've done enough. It's time for somebody else to serve. Where does it say that? Never says that. We are to be spent to the last breath for God. We're living what? Sacrifices. And so without you, your involvement, the body is suffering. If you are not involved in this body, or the body that the Lord has put you in, like I said, others have to do the part that you're supposed to be doing. And what happens when that? Then somebody else has to pick up a gift they didn't get. They weren't supposed to do. Because you're not doing it. If you're called to teach, teach. If you're called to serve, serve. If you're called to give, give. If you're called to have hospitality, give hospitality. But if you're, and so on and so on. 1 Corinthians 12 isn't the end of that list. Well, my gift isn't in there. Well, therefore, I can float. No. Find out how you're gifting and serve. And if you don't do that in the body, somebody else has to do it. And it may not be their gift. And it can do more harm to the body than good to the body. Look, if I lose my foot and my hand decides, well, you know what? We're having a problem walking. You know what that's going to look like for one foot and one hand to walk down the carpet? It might get the job done, but it isn't going to look pretty. Same idea. And so, Lord did not bring you to Rathrum Bible Church for you not to use your gift. He brought us here to serve. And growth occurs when every part does its share. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4. Verses 11 through 16. Let's go there. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Look at verse 12. For the equipping of the saints for the what? The work of ministry for the edifying of the body of Christ. Okay, so you have these people here teaching people to do ministry, showing them, telling them to do ministry so that they can do it, so they can edify the body with their gift. Till we come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to the perfect man, to the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ. Okay, so look at that. When does that happen? When are we going to finally all be mature where we're supposed to be? When Jesus comes back. Okay, so now do you understand there? Okay, how long do we continue to edify one another with the giftings and the callings we've been called to do? Till he comes back. Till we're all reached that place of total perfection, if you would. Well, I'm not going to be perfect until I'm a changed man. Do you see that? That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, that is Christ. And verse 16 would say, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. Now look at this. By what every joint supplies. So the question is, what are we providing the body? Individually. According to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Okay, so if I'm not doing my part, Paul is telling the church of Ephesus, if you're not doing your part, if I'm not doing my part, even here at Rathrum Bible Church, it's hindering the growth of you. If I'm not the pastor that I'm called to be, you won't grow. If you're not the person of God, the gift, you don't use your gift in this body, you are hindering me from growing. Do you see that? Every part does its part for growth so that we can grow up and edify one another in love. That's what he's saying. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2. Thinking, boy, I got up for this? I could have stayed in bed. That's what you're thinking, right? No. First Peter chapter 2. I want you to see our purpose here. Verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. People, we want this to happen so we can come together and proclaim the praises of God together. So as a disciple, I was saved to not just follow Him, but I'm saved to serve Him. And saved individually and gifted by God individually in order to serve Him corporately. That's what He's done. The gifts that He's given me are not for me. They're for you. The gifts He's gifted you are for one another. They're for me. They're there to edify me. They're there so we can praise Him in a corporate manner, if you would. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 12. Now we're a little bit of... That's where we were, but I want to... Maybe we should go on with that. Yeah, verse 20. Let's go start in verse 20. But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are what? Necessary. That's why there's such a range of different people in a body. You have those who maybe They're weaker. They're younger. They need help in growth. They need help in provision. They need whatever the case may be. We need them, so we know how to serve. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. Now I will say this lightly, but there is a man sitting in this congregation right now that will trump me on treasure. And so I won't say his name, but he is a servant of servants of servants. Yet if you talk to him, he is a deep well of knowledge of Scripture. And so, should I say his name? You know who it is. All right. And I am in awe of such men. But our presentable parts have no need, but God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism. Ooh, look at that. What's a schism? Division. There should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. No favorites. God gives me a gift, He gives you a gift, and it's to be given to the body, to edify the body, all the body, not just some of the body. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then the gifts of healings, helps, administrations, variety of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts. And yet I show you a more excellent way. That more excellent way is love, is what he goes into. Love the brethren with your gift. And I want to tell you with that, if you have a gift and you're not spending it on the body of Christ, you're not loving the body of Christ. You can say you are, but you're not really. Because we were saved to do something. Go to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. Why did He save us? To just give us eternal life? To just give me a mansion in heaven? To make my life full of nothing but blessing and, you know, houses and material things? Is that, there's that teaching out there. To give me health all the time? Is that why He saved me? Boy, we might be surprised when we look at some of the scriptures. Look at verse 14. It says, let me back up here. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, verse 13, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Don't miss that. Why did he give His body and His blood to just get rid of our sins? That is true. To give us His righteousness? Very true. But what? He did all that so we could serve Him. And you put that together with Matthew chapter 25. When you've done it to the least of my brethren, you've done it unto me. How do we serve Him? By serving people. And you cannot get away from that. Serving Jesus Christ involves serving one another. Didn't call us to be saved and go off into the mountains and have our own thing. He called us, saved us, put us in the body where He wanted us, put us the boundaries around us that He wanted us, caused us to live where we live and fellowship where we fellowship. That's all His doing. But He expects something from us in doing that. Not to just come on a Sunday and say, okay, let's have songs, and then I'll tell you, if that's all your faith is, then this is what you'll do. Oh, I didn't like the message. Oh, the songs. Oh, it's all about me, 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 me. It's never about serving. If it's about serving, I want to tell you something. You will show up here on a Sunday or any midday week with a heart to serve. What can I do for somebody else? Not what will happen for me. I get up out of bed. Lord, how can I be a blessing in the kingdom of God for You? Show me who I can minister to today, because it's about them when I show up in that building. It's not about me. And so Hebrews chapter 12, since we're right there, verse 28. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. There you go. It's about serving, isn't it? It's about serving Him. And each of us needs to be actively serving and ministering to one another in His body with our gift. Because the concept of servanthood is a significant part of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. Because what did Jesus, let's go to Philippians chapter 2. What did Jesus come to do? I bet you can guess that. Yeah. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you. Now don't just read over that. When He says that, He goes, okay, listen, you reader who's reading this, let this be the way you think. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And that's important, because last week, and I'll have these verses again, imitate me as I what? Imitate Christ. So we are to ultimately imitate who? Yeah. So let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation. How many of us are doing that? Is it really about me, or is it about, does my reputation, you know, whether people notice me or not, does that really matter? and made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant. Do a study on a bondservant. A bondservant is different than a servant, a slave. A slave is somebody who you do what I tell you to do because I told you. Bondservant is one who's already been set free, but his life is so good with his master, he decides to stay with him and chooses to obey him. So a bondservant, in coming in the likeness of men, it would say, verse 8, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. So he even continues to serve. That Jesus came to serve. But he even continues to serve if you go to Hebrews 7 as high priest. He didn't quit serving just because he went back to glory. I think, oh, well, Jesus quit serving, you know. Look at verse 20 to 25 in that passage. And inasmuch as he was not made priest without an oath, for they have become priests without an oath, but he with an oath, by him who said to him, the Lord has sworn and will not relent, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. By so much more, Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant. Also, there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing. But he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. So look at the service of the Lord Jesus. He continues to do it. No retirement for him. So therefore, he expects his disciples to serve others in his body as believers. Now, if we went to John 13, yeah, let's go back there. John 13, verse 12. John 13, verse 12. So when he had washed their feet. Let me back up here. Then he came to Simon, verse 6, Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? And Jesus answered and said to him, what I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. And Jesus answered, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, you are not all clean. So when he had washed their feet, taking his garments, sat down again, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Don't miss that. Okay, because notice, we are blessed. That word there in the Greek is happy. Happy if you what? Serve other people. Now you might be thinking, like I said when I started this, I can't do this. I have no time. I don't know how to serve or where to serve, et cetera, et cetera. But you might use your gifting from the Lord too. And I went and just thought about some things that may be happening in this body. And for the sake of time, I can't list them all. But you might use your gifting from the Lord to evangelize those who are dead and lost. You might join up with an evangelistic team that goes out from this church to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to people that need it. And there is those teams. You might bless others with your hospitality. Some might have the gift of hospitality. Come to my home. Bring in strangers. Or whatever the case may be. You might disciple others in the Word of God, you being a Sunday school teacher, or you might even assist someone who's teaching. Just go in not to teach, but serve a teacher. What do you need for your work? Let me do the copying for you. You go study. You go pray. Let me make your papers. Why can't we do that in service? You might present at each service or be present at each service to greet family that you don't even know. My only ministry is to say hi to everybody. And I might want to go to both services to do that. Because when you talk to people, you find out needs. The reason we don't know the needs of the body sometimes is because we don't talk. Go talk. Go introduce yourself. Go encourage them. You might take special interest in those who are new to the body. Take them out to lunch. Take them home and feed them. Visit them. Talk to them. Encourage them. Because God didn't bring them here by accident. Just to walk through the door and never be greeted? That should never happen. Never be talked to? Find out where they are in their faith? Find out where we can encourage them? Find out where this body can be spent for them? You might visit the sick, the shut-in, the elderly. Go to their homes. Bring them to church. Desperate ministry we need in this body. It's people to start bringing the shut-ins to church. Go pick them up. We'll drive right by their house. Might minister those in need with time, with food, with firewood, with finances, etc., etc., etc. Might serve in cooking meals on Wednesday or serving the meals. Have a great ministry here where we minister to the community. You could be a team that goes out and tells people that we're serving them a meal. You could get involved with door to door. Hi, I'm from Rafter Bible Church. We have a meal. Would you like to come eat? Everybody in this surrounding neighborhood should know Wednesday nights that we have a meal, and we shouldn't have to put out a sign. We should have people going telling people. I know I'm sounding kind of hard here, but we need to become prayer warriors. Meet to pray with one another. Not individual prayers, those are great too, but meeting together as a team of people to pray. We might get involved in the homeschool ministry that's here at RBC and the 20, 25 kids that need somebody that can mentor them. We might get involved in missionary care, correspondence. By the way, the missionary board is up back by the bread table. Find out who you can pray for. Find out who you can write to. Find out who you can encourage. It's all on that board. We shouldn't have missionaries that don't hear from us in some way. Get involved with church cleaning, church maintenance, yard keep. Get involved in the worship so there is more talent used for praise. God has gifted many people in this body with talent. And I love Larry, and I love the ladies playing the piano, but they shouldn't have to do this on their own. We have gifted people. Get involved with visitation. Women are really good at this, but men, get busy. There's men that need to see men. Come to their house and say, you know what? I'm here to pray with you and encourage you. Get involved with Awana, Ambassadors for Christ, Vacation Bible Schools. We got to get past the thought that, well, you know, we got teenage kids in the church. They should be doing this. No, they shouldn't. Get rid of that idea. We're supposed to teach younger people how to do ministry. Don't saddle. They're still learning about Christ. They're not to be saddled with the responsibility of whether we do things like that. We're to take it on ourselves and teach them how to do it. We haven't had a vacation Bible school in this church for how many years? Why haven't we? Okay. Wherever God has called you to be a disciple, wherever He's called you to serve in His body as His disciple, we're supposed to do it as unto Him. Do it well. If you're not active, get involved. And ask the Lord where you can serve. Because if we're not serving in the place of worship in which the Lord has placed us, then no complaining should ever come off of my lips about how somebody else is doing it. Amen?
Amen.
People, we are in the last days. And there are people that need Christ. And we must imitate me, so it says in 1 Corinthians 11:1, as I imitate Christ. But I'll still use the verse that I showed on the video. 1 John 2:6. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk what? Just as he walked. So let's talk about, before I quit, I was going to quit right there. Let's just not quit there. Let's talk about abiding for a minute. Because none of this can happen unless I abide in Christ. Amen? And the Bible, if you go to John 15, it talks about abiding in Christ, but abiding in His Word also. Okay, and that's John 15 verses 1 through 8. Branches grow out in that passage. It talks about the branches grafted to the vine. Well, branches grow out of the vine. We're the branches. He's the vine. We're the disciple. He's the discipler. We must know Jesus as His disciple if we're going to grow. We have to be disciples. Must grow. Whereas branches have no life in themselves. Separate a branch from the vine will do what? Wither and die. We have no life in our own. We can do nothing. That passage tells us without Him we can do absolutely nothing. We must rely upon everything that Christ is and has done. I can't do it. So to do all that I've told you about this morning, I have to abide in Him. I can't even love you the right way if I don't. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word this morning. And Lord, I don't know what You want to do with it, but certainly it has convicted me. Father, I keep thinking of that I can't be spent enough for the kingdom. I thank You for this body. I thank You for placing me here. I thank You for all that are here. But Lord, we're here to edify one another. To encourage one another. We are all broken vessels. Lord, we are all have failed You. We all deserve judgment, but You have given us salvation. We deserve condemnation, but You've given us forgiveness. You placed us in a body. You gifted us, Father. I pray, Lord, that You would show us how to spend our lives to edify one another. Down to the littlest thing in this church body. If it's sweeping, let me sweep well. If it's visiting, let me visit well. If it's prayer, let me pray well. If it's exhorting, let me exhort well. Let others in this body be first in our lives, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.